Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Got to do a little housekeeping here. Got to adjust the microphone. I don't know who. Was this Jacobs? Was this Dan Jacobs? Somebody in, over here over the weekend. I like having my microphone arm set a certain way. And whoever was in here over the weekend severely mangled it. So sorry, I had to do a little bit of housekeeping. Hello. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Hello, Mark Schlereth.
How are you, buddy?
Good. I was just...
The thing about this is when you adjust it, because we only have one... See, these microphone arms are on one pole.
Oh, if I adjust, then you adjust.
Right, then it automatically sends
mine up. Did I mess with you too much? Yeah.
No, I'm fine.
Are you okay? Yeah. I can lower it a little bit.
No, I'm good.
We good?
Yeah,
all right.
Fine.
By the way, I had forgotten about this. You mentioned this on Friday, but you made a journey up to Wyoming.
Yeah, I did.
Like... You could probably count on one hand since you came to Colorado the number of times you've been in Wyoming, correct?
Yeah.
So
that's probably my third or fourth time.
What took you to Wyoming? What brought you to Wyoming?
I was speaking engagement Saturday night in Wyoming. It was great.
Where in Wyoming?
Right there in Cheyenne.
Cheyenne? I thought you told me. Are you trying to get me on a really?
No.
I thought you told me Casper.
Yeah, I meant Cheyenne.
Oh.
They all start with a C.
All right, I was wondering.
Does every town in Wyoming start with a C?
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
There's only six towns.
Right.
In the whole state.
Right.
So.
Yeah, Cheyenne's right up the street.
Okay.
I-25.
Yeah.
You just roll right into it.
See any tumbleweed blowing across the road?
No, did not
First
see
First time I ever went to Wyoming, I was I just crossed over the Wyoming state line and some tumbleweed. I was like, "Huh, okay."
Yeah, just
cool.
Like the old West.
Yeah.
It was great. A lot of 6 a.m. listeners up in Wyoming.
Okay. Great.
A lot of 6 a.m. listeners up in Casper.
By the way, I love when people take the whole weekend.
Or Casper, I mean Cheyenne.
Cheyenne. They take the whole weekend and they can't even wait till we start. They have to text us like right before the show starts. They're so eager. How about this? Mark, your jealousy is ridiculous. Just because Russell Wilson will be a future Hall of Famer and you will never be does not mean you need to blast him. Professionals don't do that, but I understand your jealousy gets the best of you.
Well, let me just tell you, jealousy has nothing to do with whether the guy played well here or not. Has zero to do with that. And I don't know that he's a future Hall of Famer. Yeah, I mean, he better fix the way he's played the last couple of years. Otherwise, he's going to play himself out. He started off great, no question about it. Not here. He's been absolute garbage here.
Garbage.
I said it.
Garbage. Speaking of garbage.
Yeah.
Michael Malone.
Oof.
Oh, man.
What a great comeback that was last night. That fourth quarter was, I mean, they're down. They're down by... Gosh, by like 14, 15 points. And they just put the hammer down. And the next thing you know, they're taking the lead with a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. It was just awesome. Awesome comeback.
Well, you came away with that impression. Michael Malone was as angry and as terse after a game as I've heard him all year long. So he was not interested in, hey, what an impressive comeback or anything like that. He was just, you can basically hear his whole press conference. Three questions. Here you go. Coach, what was the difference in the game?
I mean, I guess it was a fluke day. I mean, I can't remember the last time we got rebounded by 22.
All right, what did you see on that last possession that Kyrie Irving scored the game winner?
I saw Kyrie Irving make a running left-handed hook from the elbow. We've been on both sides of it. You know, we've won games at the buzzer, and now we lost the game at the buzzer. Give them credit. Give Kyrie credit. Obviously, there's a lot of things down the stretch that we could have done better.
How'd you feel about the defense on that last play?
Yeah, if a guy is going to beat us making a left-handed, offhanded hook shot from the elbow, yes, I did.
Okay. And with that, he got up and left.
All right.
Jeez. Got out-rebounded by a whopping 60-37 on the glass.
Wow.
And a Dallas team that, honestly, outside of Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, you'd have a hard time naming three Mavs before yesterday's game if you watched it. So he was pretty ticked off. So in his mind, the standard is the standard, and they did not meet the standard.
No, I can I absolutely can understand that. They did on the glass. They just weren't good, and you know it's one of those things that you get upset about. Those are the little things that cost you games. And I think his big thing is, you know, I mean, that ultimately will cost you a game in the playoff run. So we're splitting hairs. These are little things on the road. They've won what they were 10-1 out of the break. Now 10-2 out of the break. Correct.
I mean, I think
11-1 out of the break. Now 11-2 out of the break.
Yeah, let's go with that. Just keep talking. I'll confirm that. But I think it's 11-2.
Yeah, but the bottom line is the bottom line is, you know, I mean, Michael Malone is finding things to nitpick at now, and good for him. I appreciate that. I think that's one of those things you've got to do. You've got to keep your guys. You got to keep your guys on the edge.
11-2 since the All-Star break. Coming up, much more to react to the weekend that was. The Avs, are they checking off one of their most important to-do boxes before the playoffs? And CU and CSU dancing. Sort of. We'll explain next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house. Even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing, auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station. 104.3 The Fan.
Great Monday morning to you. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Reacting to the weekend that was. Already getting some texts rolling in on the Nuggets loss yesterday. We'll get to some of those. Mark Avalanche checking off one of their to-do boxes before the playoffs. Once the trade deadline was upon us, the moves were made, and then coming out of the trade deadline, I listed three key to-dos for me for the remainder of the season. I wanted to see them accomplished before they went into the playoffs. One was to get Valanciunas back to playing at the level he was prior to going into the player assistance program. He's done that. Check. The other was to get all the new guys acclimated quickly. Still in the process of doing that, but the early returns look positive. And three was to develop a better road record, a better road mentality, more swagger on the road, because the Avalanche, who started the season 4-0 on the road this year, then went 10-14-5. You know what those fives are?
Ties. Overtime losses. Overtime wins. Overtime something. They're overtimes.
OTLs.
OTL, overtime losses.
Or SOLs.
Or shootout losses.
Correct. So anyway, good job. You're picking it up.
Because
you get a point for those.
Yeah, but...
So it goes down as like a tie, but since they don't have ties anymore, they go down into the tie column.
But you only get those tie things that aren't really ties, they're losses, but they only put those on your record when you lose.
In overtime or a shootout.
So like Saturday when they lost or when they won Edmonton,
in overtime.
You know, so Edmonton got that
OTL.
The OTL thing, and we just gotta win.
Correct.
Wow. Hockey is so stupid. It's just so dumb.
So anyway.
Yeah,
so
go ahead.
So they started the season 4-0 on the road.
Uh-huh.
Then they went 10-14-5 on the road. But on this road trip, 3-0 on the road trip. So their road record just about now just a little bit over 500. And They're playing well. And as Jared Bednar said after the game the other night, there's a lot of good energy around this team.
It's a different group for us now. Like, right, we've added all these players, and we have a little bit different personality. Guys are re-energized after the trade deadline. New guys coming in, and we're still sort of finding, you know, how the pieces all fit together.
Well, I know one thing. I mean, you got two goals from Sean Walker. One of them assisted by Middlestat, right?
Yeah.
Which was awesome. And then I also know there. Like for me, there's two accomplishments. So that happened. Both those guys got involved, right? Both those guys, newcomers. You talked about that kind of melding those guys into the system, getting those guys ready, getting those guys kind of up to par. And the cool thing about Walker's first goal. Remember, you know, a defenseman that jumps into the offensive. You know, into the offensive game, because that's what they do, right? That's Avalanche hockey. So that was a good sign. And then ultimately, the other thing that we're watching is McKinnon versus what's his head?
McDavid.
McDavid was a -2. Like, didn't have an assist. Didn't have a score. McKinnon got the assist on the overtime goal, right?
Well, one thing you can usually count on whenever Connor McDavid plays against the Avs, he's not going to really show up. Which is why the whole he's the best player on the world type thing is always mystifying and amusing to me, because funny, whenever he plays against the Avalanche, he's a virtual no-show. And Nathan McKinnon, when he plays against the Oilers, is, well, Nathan McKinnon. So the Avalanche, 3-0 on the road trip. They can finish off a perfect road trip tomorrow at St. Louis. College hoops. Both CU and CSU, congratulations, making the NCAA tournament, sort of.
Okay, this is like the overtime loss rules and shootout
rules. So they're in, but by the, what do they call that? The chinny chin chin? The
skinnier teeth.
Skinnier teeth, right?
Uh-huh.
As both teams will be playing in play-in games in Dayton, Ohio. CSU up first tomorrow will be taking on Virginia. Virginia, a team that... many of the hoop experts were like surprised they got in, whether or not they're deserving of getting in. CSU is in, but I kept warning Rams fans, stop doinking around. They were solidly in the tournament over a month ago, and then they started losing some games. I'm like, careful, you're messing around here. And they were one of the last teams in, but they're in, and they get Virginia. I think they can win that game. I think that's I feel good about CSU in that game.
Okay.
Virginia's not Virginia of recent Virginia vintage past. And then CU, which had to sweat it out after losing the Pac-12 championship game to Oregon, they're in. They'll play Wednesday in Dayton, and they'll take on Boise State.
Oh,
you don't like Boise.
No.
You Idahoans.
No, we do not like Boise State. So that's good.
That one will be a little tougher, I think. I think CSU has the easier matchup, honestly. Boise State, one of those kind of battle-tested type teams. They very rarely beat themselves. And so that'll be a good game. That's a good matchup. I like both those matchups. But CU and CSU will both be playing over the next. So we don't have to wait for Thursday. We don't have to wait for Thursday to March.
Didn't Coach Carl's son play at Boise State? Coach there?
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah.
I think he was at Boise State.
Kobe Carl? I think it was Kobe.
Kobe Carl. I think so. I think you're right.
Kobe Carl. On the Ramos Law, ramoslaw.com text line, I wanted to read this one because whenever the Nuggets do lose, you can bet how some people view the loss and who they want to blame it on. How about you double Luka on the last shot? Never any strategy with Malone. Mike is just a cheerleader. So if you want to get your little dig in, you call him Mike, because he prefers Michael. How about you double Luka on the last shot? Yeah, you know, you could double Luka, and then he'd probably pass it over to Kyrie Irving. And what would Kyrie Irving do in a clutch situation?
Right. Throw it up left-handed on a little running hook. By the way, Kyrie Irving is still he's a flat earther and everything, but that dude can play. Dude, he's still got off his dribble. He's still got quickness. He still gets up shots. Still a really good player.
the second guessing of Malone on that one. So you've got Aaron Gordon on Luka. We all praise Aaron Gordon for being one of the best defenders in all of the NBA. His ability to defend just about anybody, any size. We praise Aaron Gordon to the mountaintop. And Luka Doncic hits like a 35-footer from way out top against Aaron Gordon. And we're going to blame Michael Malone for not doubling Luka.
Yeah.
So whenever Aaron does his job, oh, Aaron Gordon this, Aaron Gordon that. Whenever Aaron, well, and in this case, Aaron Gordon, it wasn't even a case of Aaron Gordon not doing his job. It's Luka Doncic. He's one of the best players on the planet. The other guy gets paid too. He hits a great, great shot, and we blame Michael Malone. Okay.
By the way, I mean, look at the difference in the shot, the quality of the shot at the end of the game where Murray misses. I mean, that for him is a bunny just about. I mean, he puts that down all the time.
Yeah.
He misses. And then Kyrie hits this ridiculous left-handed running hook from 20 feet. And Michael Malone can't coach. That should have been to tie it, by the way, not to win it. So, hey, man, 11-2 out of the break. Give me a break. Stop it.
Why was he so upset, though?
Oh, but just because it shouldn't have been that close. I mean, ultimately, he looks at it like, hey, man, we shouldn't lose that game. Dude, what if you don't give up all those, especially the offensive rebounds? I don't know how many offensive rebounds Dallas had, but it was one of the, really another, you know, really kind of like you're just sitting there watching going, box somebody out. Pick up a rebound. There's a couple of taps, you know, at the rim where you're trying to tap it to somebody, you tap it right back to them. A couple of, but there's a bunch of, there's just a bunch of, it's frustrating for him.
Well, Nuggets at Minnesota tomorrow night. That one will be fun to watch. Battle for the division lead. Karl Anthony Towns, though, still out.
Yeah.
Pray for Cat.
Yeah.
Morning Brew coming up next. We'll hear from a very terse Michael Malone after the game. Jared Bednar feeling good about his team. And you had to see it. You had to hear it to believe it. If you closed your eyes, you would have thought Russ was still in Denver. That's next.
It's time for your morning brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Nuggets lose at the buzzer after coming from behind in the fourth quarter against Dallas. They end up losing by two. Kyrie Irving hitting a what was that left-handed running hook to win the game, but Michael Malone more focused on the lack of rebounding. Nuggets out rebounded 60-37, including giving up a whopping 22 offensive rebounds.
I mean, I guess it was a fluke day. I mean, I can't remember the last time we got rebounded by 22.
That was the answer. That was as terse as you can be.
Well, probably a fluke game. You know, so I imagine the question had something to do with that fluky shot, right? Like Kyrie throwing up a running left-handed opposite hand shot. It's fluky, right? Yeah, I guess it's a fluke day. You know, if you want to buy into that garbage or that narrative, we got out-rebounded by 22. The offensive glass we didn't take care of. So you could sit there and like, that's just him saying, I'm not letting my players off the hook. I'm not letting guys make excuses. Wow, we got beat by a running hook shot. No, you got beat by, you got out rebounded by 22 rebounds.
And what is rebounding? Rebounding is effort.
Yes.
That's what rebounding is. And so why is he going to harp on that? Why was he so angry? Because he's looking for any sign that he can jump on between now and the end of the regular season to make sure this is not an issue come the postseason. And when you go out and play a game in which you are outplayed on the glass like that, that's effort. Mm-hmm. And anytime you have a lack of effort, you got to jump on that right away.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%, man. I'm all for it. You know what? Regardless of what some of the haters out there say, I think that, especially with the NBA, I think that's really good coaching.
Instead of just, oh, wow, what a great comeback, and bam, you get beat by a shot like that. What are you going to do?
Well, you have to the other guy. It's not only that, it's expectations. Like in this town, the Nuggets have an expectation. You know what their expectation is? NBA Finals. That's their expectation. And so what's going to keep us from making an NBA Finals run? Well, if we don't pay attention to the details, because we're not going to out-athlete people out of the building. It's not how we operate. We have to outplay people. It's that team concept. I love it. I think that's great coaching.
Next on the Morning Brew, the Avalanche relaxing after a thrilling 3-2 overtime win over Edmonton on Saturday night, literally scoring in the final second of overtime. Nathan MacKinnon with a beautiful dish to Arturi Lehkonen, who tipped home the pass for the game winner with literally half a second left in overtime. Jared Bednar, that was good hockey.
Yeah, it was a fast game. You know, that's two in a row. I thought the Vancouver game was fast, too. Not a lot of whistles when both teams got going. Tempo, transition. You know, it was hard to create sustained ozone time. And I'm sure it was for them as well. Both teams had their, like, sort of momentum shifts. And I thought it was a great hockey game. I don't know what else you could ask for in a hockey game than watching that one tonight.
And we got two more with Edmonton. Two more coming down the stretch here in what could easily be a Western Conference final preview.
Over under on points for McDavid.
Ah, glad you brought that up. Can we stop with the Connor McDavid's making a late MVP push? Threatening Nathan MacKinnon again. Avs, Oilers meet up. Avs get the win. MacKinnon, no goals, one assist, a plus one, six shots on goal. Connor McDavid, no goals, no assists, minus two.
How many shots on goal did he have?
Five. So, advantage MacKinnon.
Yeah.
And if we make such a big deal, you see it all the time in the NBA, right? Oh, Tatum, you know, Jason Tatum coming to Denver has to have a really good game if he wants to make a case for his MVP chances. I'll say the same thing about Connor McDavid. You had a chance head-to-head against the Avs at home. You got beat. And MacKinnon was the better player.
Yeah.
Stop the conversation. Next on the Morning Brew, Russell Wilson had his introductory press conference in Pittsburgh. Now, this went down before the Justin Fields trade or even before Kenny Pickett had been traded. So, because that happened in a flurry, but Russ, reflecting on his time here in Denver.
Got to meet some amazing friends, you know, amazing teammates, guys like Cortland Sutton guys like Javonte Williams and different guys I got to be around. Guys like Burton and guys like Jaleel McLaughlin, a young rookie that I got to be able to speak life into him, and Brandon Johnson, just some great people, Garrett Bowles, just some different guys I got to build with over the time. DJ Jones and so many others.
I watched the whole press conference, and there were times where literally I just kind of closed my eyes and just listened. I'm like, this is literally like any one of 25 Bronco press conferences I heard with Russ. I tell you what, the guy, he knows his platform, he knows his talking points, and he doesn't deviate from them.
No. By the way, where, you know, all the people that are like all the rusties. I thought about this weekend. All the rusties out there. Sean Payton did Russ wrong. Sean Payton is, he went total rogue. Sean Payton is a tyrant. Sean Payton this, Sean Payton that. Well, where's your, rusties, where's your hate for Mike Tomlin? Because Mike Tomlin told Kenny Pickett he was going to get a chance to compete for the job. And then he told him, well, Russ is going to be treated as the incumbent.
Well, the story there is that Pickett acted like a baby after the trade went down. And he felt threatened by Russ.
Well, after he was told what? That Russ was going to be the incumbent? If you're told that you're going to get a chance to truly compete, and then you say, well, Russ is going to get the incumbent, he's going to get the first, you know you're not actually be given a chance. You're not given a chance to compete. If that guy is the incumbent in the preseason when you don't actually, I don't know, play in the games, how are you going to win the starting job? if it's not truly a competition.
Go out and play at a level where it makes the coaches have no choice but to put you in there. Instead, he said, I'm going into the portal. Oh, wait, I'm not in college anymore. There is no more portal. Yeah. I can't just be mad and sulk and just leave.
All I'm saying.
I guess I need to get traded.
All
oh,
I'm
got
saying,
traded.
Rusty's, right. When it works out in your favor, Rusty's, the guy's a great coach.
So is Kenny Pickett going to be going to Philadelphia with the understanding that he's going to be?
No, but.
Having a chance to start?
No, he knows he's not going to have a chance to start, but at least he knows, at least he's not being lied to.
It's spicy.
By the way,
I just want to know where the Rusties are. Right? Like, when, if you're going to hold Sean Payton accountable, Rusties, don't you have to hold Mike Tomlin accountable?
By the way, I'm here. I'm signed up for the inevitable quarterback drama that goes on in Pittsburgh between Russ and Justin Fields.
Let's get it.
I am up for that theater. Next on the Morning Brew, we've got teams in the college basketball NCAA tournament. We are not on the outside looking in. No, we're in it, sort of. We've got both CSU and CU in play-in games in Dayton, Ohio. Tomorrow night, CSU takes on Virginia at 7 o'clock. Wednesday, CU takes on Boise State at 7 o'clock. CU women, number a 5 seed in the women's tournament. They will take on Drake on Friday at 5 o'clock. So there you go. And make sure, by the way, it is that time. The brackets are out. You can start filling out your bracket. We want you to be part of our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. Just go to denversports.com/hoops to sign up. It is free to play, and you have a chance, if you pick the best bracket of anyone, to win $5,000. Fill out a bracket for a chance to win $5,000 for free and be going up against all of the other fellow fan listeners and hosts out there. Sounds like a pretty good deal. So entry closes before the first game on Thursday. And get to denversports.com/hoops and get signed up.
I knew Drake was a big sports fan. I didn't know he had his own college.
He got his own college. That's how big he is. Up next, we'll get to some of your texts. A lot to react to from the weekend that was. And are the Broncos automatically in rebuild mode? Maybe not as much as you think. That's next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right, let's get this out of the way. Mark, we got some controversy.
Controversy?
Controversy. What happened?
Well, I said earlier, the Avalanche, after being a well below 500 road team all year, have been playing better on the road.
Okay.
And are now an above 500 road team. Now, when you look at the official NHL standings, it says the Avalanche road record is 17-14-5.
Uh-huh.
I have this texter who is like a dog nipping at my heels. He's like grabbed onto my pant leg and he won't let go.
Okay.
He insists that the Avalanche record is below 500 on the road, that they're 17-19 because the 5 is an overtime or shootout loss.
Right. Right. Again.
So that he says in their mind they're 17-19.
Yeah.
But how can you put those 5 in with your 14?
Because they're losses.
Regulation losses when you do get a point out of them.
Again. Hockey.
So I guess I'll toss that out to all the fans.
Yeah, I agree with 14, the texter.
You think they're below 500 on the road?
Yeah.
So
are those losses?
But you get a point for them. So if you take the point and you put them with your 17 wins, you actually have 39 points. 17 wins, you get 2 points. That's 34.
Uh-huh.
Plus the 5 overtime or shootout losses, that's 5. That's 39 points, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you get 14 losses where you missed out on a potential of 28 points. Even if you want to add the overtime or shootout loss point that you're missed out on, that's only 5. That's 33. 39 is greater than 33. Ergo, they're about 500 on the road. Done. Move on.
Again, fatal flaw for hockey. I didn't want to get into, is it a loss or is it an outlaw? I mean, do you think the guys, after you lose, like, do you think after you lose in overtime, do you think they celebrate the point in the locker room? Way to go, guys. Great one-pointer.
No, but you'll hear them come out and
say, let's crack a few beers.
No. You'll hear them come out and say, we were fortunate to come away with a point, or that was a hard-earned point, or we deserved at least a point. No, I'm
We deserved I'm fine with at that. Least a point.
I'm fine with that.
This is sad.
It is sad. I agree with you.
So you would like then what? To have it set up so that...
If you lose, you lose.
You get nothing?
Yeah.
So you think that there should be a system in place in hockey where that if a game is tied at the end of regulation, there should be a system in place where we have a very clear winner and a very clear loser. And after 60 minutes, if you're tied, however you decide the game after that, if you lose, you get zero. You get nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you lose, you lose. We don't get a certificate of participation. Wait, this is the problem. So you must honestly.
Do you have a problem with NFL ties then? Should they just keep playing?
Oh, yeah.
In the regular season?
Oh, yeah. I would much rather them keep playing. Okay.
All right.
But at least you don't get, everybody doesn't get a point or whatever, or a fake win or fake loss or whatever. Like, this is the problem. This is the problem. This is why, you know, people get upset with it. That's why we have a text waiting for me about I'm jealous of Russ. Because we grew up a society of certificate of participation kids. And when you tell the truth about somebody, they don't like it. Because they want everybody to be a winner. That's the problem. Not everybody's a winner.
So,
some people lose.
So can I ask you this?
Yeah.
Of those 17 road wins that the Avs have, some of them were won in overtime, like the one on Saturday night.
Yeah, that's a win.
Okay, is it a win though if you play 60 minutes of regular hockey?
Yeah.
And you get 1 point for that, and then you then resort to a gimmick of 3-on-3 hockey or even a shootout to decide who gets the other point. If you happen to win the gimmick part of the hockey game, does that, in your mind, make it a true win?
Are both teams on the ice?
Not in the case of a shootout, no.
But they get equal opportunity in a shootout, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
somebody's playing fast and loose with the whole conversation, but that's okay.
Nobody's playing fast and loose with anything.
That's all right.
Are you competing or are you not competing?
Okay. All right.
Hockey.
Let's
make some new rules.
Are the Broncos automatically in rebuild mode?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are they?
Absolutely.
Here is their projected starting lineup on defense for this season.
Okay.
Upcoming.
All right.
Your edge rushers are pick two, Baron Browning, Jonathan Cooper, Nick Benito.
Okay.
Your inside guys are Zach Allen and DJ Jones.
Mm-hmm.
They also got Malcolm Roach from New Orleans last week as a
rotational
guys. Your linebackers are Alex Singleton and Cody Barton.
I like Cody Barton. Cody Barton's a good dude and a good player.
Okay. And your corners are Patrick Surtain and Riley Moss, who was a third-round pick. He'll get a chance to step up this year. Your safeties are P.J. Lock and Brandon Jones, with Caden Stearns in the rotation. And your corner is Jaquan McMillan. Does that sound like a rebuilding defense to you? Or is that a pretty good defense on paper?
Do you have an established threat on the edge? A guy that you have to game plan for?
No, not right now.
Okay. Do you have a guy that you have to game plan for in the middle linebacker position?
No.
Do you have a guy that you have to game plan for in the back end? Probably Surtain to a degree.
Right.
But just remember.
But you didn't have any of those guys this year, and they weren't a rebuilding team this year.
Just remember that if you have one corner, you can with a corner, you can shut down one receiver. With a great pass rush, Trey Wingo says it's all done. Great pass rush, you can shut them all down. And so, yeah, I mean, are you rebuilding? Yeah, I mean, you could nitpick. You just accused me of playing fast and loose with the rules. Why don't you put our offensive starters out there?
Oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no.
I don't want to do that. Four Down Territory coming up next.